Hello and welcome, South Carolina. From the Midlands to the Upstate, we are happy to have you join the Yard Pro Show this morning, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is an absolute delight to be here, is it not, Scott?
It is.
Man, what a nice...
I like it.
Cloudy.
Yes.
Gloomy. Windy. Fall is in the air day.
Finally.
Well, fall's been here for several weeks.
It has.
You wouldn't know it, though, as it was, in the mid-90s this week?
Yeah, upper 90s. Broke some records.
Broke some records, 100 in some places. Who knows? It was hot. So, as I said earlier, you are listening to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. It's easy to find us during the week. It's www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all of our retail stores, maps, store hours, email addresses, telephone numbers, all that good jazz. Information there. If you go to www.carolinafreshfarms.com, you will find all kind of information about your lawn. Not just your lawn, about hardscapes.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
You name it, it's there. A lot of black and white. Some good reading about grass. Some good pictures, things you could do. It's cooling off. It's time to work in the yard, is it not?
Yeah, I can deal with this.
Can you?
I can.
I don't know.
My favorite time of the year.
I don't know. I went out and had dinner last night downtown. Wearing shorts. A pair of flip-flops. It's kind of nice. And didn't realize this morning I got up. And they keep saying it's going to get cool, but I didn't believe it. You know why?
Why?
I've never seen a strong cold front come through and no rain. Zero rain. Have you?
Mm-mm.
It's cloudy. It's windy. Man, the leaves galore, blowing everywhere. So we went instantaneous from summer. Temperatures don't say it, but my fear is we're going from summer to winter pretty quickly. Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
What are you doing? You looking at the weather there?
Yeah, I'm looking at the forecast. It was breezy because I got up at 3 o'clock this morning.
Why would you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning?
When I saw, I took the wind chimes off the shepherd's hook and brought him inside because it was.
Was it outside your bedroom window? Yes. Or something?
Someone decided to put it there.
Someone.
Yeah.
Someone. Her name start with A?
It does.
Mm.
So she's out of town this weekend, so.
So the wind chimes mysteriously disappeared.
They're in the garage.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would suggest they disappear because they may decide to reappear outside the bedroom window.
No, they won't. Not the bedroom window. I think I'm going to go ahead and take the shepherd hook and put it in the farthest back corner of the property and hang them down there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, today's a good day to listen to wind chimes, right?
It is.
It's a good day to get out and work in the yard. That's what I'm going to do.
You are?
Yeah.
Actually got seed.
I actually have seed. I'm going to put some seed out. As we go through the show today, Scott, we're going to talk about how important it is to get your seed out today. Because trust me, you don't want to be any later than that guy on the Yard Pro Show. His name is Mills. You don't want to be any later than he is on seed because he always pushes the extreme. I heard he procrastinates on seeding every year. And that's a little bit of a fear I have. But before we get there, Scott, you know, with the wind and everything, the leaves are blowing, it's cool outside, feels like it's going to be a great day to do what?
Work in the yard.
Work in the yard, and then what do you do this evening? Sit back, kick your feet up.
And look at all your hard work.
Yeah, but we got a little problem out there.
I'm looking at that.
We still have a problem out there. It is time for that weekly U.S. Drought Monitor South Carolina update.
And we are in the red.
All right, man, we're going to get you some drumsticks. You know, we need to get you some drumsticks. So, folks, this week, 77.94%. It has grown a tenth of a percent this week. 78% of the great state of South Carolina is under some form of drought condition. Let that sink in. The only place that's not is beginning around Charleston County, right on the coast, all the way up to Horry County.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else in the great state of South Carolina is under some form of drought.
And the Midlands are in bad shape.
The Midlands is about the worst. They have actually hit, you know, they're four levels from D0, actually five levels, but it's numbered zero, D0 for drought zero, which is abnormally dry, all the way to D4, exceptional drought. We have parts, it looks like, looking at this, you know, it's been a long time since I had South Carolina geography. Looks like it's probably, what, part of Richland County?
Orangeburg?
Maybe a little bit of Orangeburg County. We are in D3, extreme drought in certain areas. I mean, only 2% of the state is in that, but a vast majority of this state is from D1 to D4. A vast majority of the state is in D2, which is severe drought. It is dry, Scott. It is dry. And that's why I say it's a little odd that we have this cold front coming through. I mean, the temperature is going to be 20 degrees cooler today or more. I mean, I looked at the hourly forecast for where I live, and right now is as warm as it's going to be today. By this afternoon, it's going to be in the low 60s. So it's going to be cooling off as we go through the day, which is just unbelievable. As of right now, also, I'm trying to figure it out because I want to let people know. My fear is, and when I was driving in this morning, Scott, I was thinking, man, you know, there are going to be a lot of folks this evening that once they get done working in the yard, having fun, they want to sit out around the back patio and have an outdoor fire. Is there a fire ban right now in South Carolina? Yes. I haven't heard. Normally, it's all over the radio. It's every news outlet you turn on. I maybe it's just me not watching the news any longer.
I think we've been in one for about a month.
Yeah, I would think there's some kind of burning ban at this point in the state of South Carolina. So, err with a little caution. Make sure you check your local regulations. You may be in a band where you're not allowed to have those outdoor fire pits burning this evening. I know it's tempting with the cool weather, but we really need some rain. And I still find it, did I say I find it odd?
Yeah.
That we have this cool front come through with such gusto, the wind's blowing, and no rain in the forecast? I mean, did I see later in the week in the upstate, there's like a 40%
chance?
40% chance of rain, like what, Tuesday, Wednesday? A whopping 40%, folks. So it is dry out there. Scott, I think that's going to have some implications on our lawns and our landscapes, our shrubbery, that we need to be aware of, because now that the temperatures are cooling and we're in severe drought in some cases, extreme in some others, I think this is going to have some negative implications potentially to our plant material that's out there. I really do. So as we go through the show, we need to talk about that. We also need to remind everybody, this weekend is the weekend. If you're going to reseed your yard, now is the time to do it, okay? It's also the time to put out pre-emergent. If you haven't done that on your warm season grass, it's time to put out large patch material because of soil temperatures, which I'll take a gander and look at here shortly, I'm sure they're beginning to drop, and we need to know where they are. Once those soil temperatures get down to 70, it's all on. I mean, annual bluegrass, poannual is going to begin to germinate. Large patch is going to run rampant. Boy, I'm just painting a nasty picture.
You are.
Yeah. And my fear is, though, we've all been lulled to sleep. We've all walked around, especially me, for the last 3 weeks, and we're like, oh, woe is me. It's so hot. I'm not going to mess. Well, it's so dry. Oh, it's so hot. Oh, I'm not going to do anything in the yard. And now all of a sudden we have like a week to get it done. Or we have 3 days to get it done. In my case, we have the weekend to get it done. Right? There's a lot to get done in a short period of time. So start making a list, Scott, so we can keep reminding everybody. We're going to have them all worked up in a frenzy today of what they need to get done in the lawn. Folks, the phone lines are open, 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. We'd love to have you call and participate with us this morning. And as well, you can text us at 71307. So let's go to Jim in Greenville. Good morning, Jim, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, guys. I've got my lawn aerated. It's really a sparse lawn. It used to be Bermuda. Shade trees taking it over. Got a little bit of fescue in it. I'm going to come back with fescue. It looks pretty bad right now. So I'm going to seed it after aerating it. Do I need to drag it first? And do I put lime down And can I get away with triple 17 instead of the high phosphate fertilizer?
Yeah, you know, the triple 17, let's go there first. Yeah, I think you can get away with it if you want, but keep in mind the majority of triple 17 out there is very quick release, you know, all quick release nitrogen sources, which is fine. It's going to grow grass, but just keep in mind you're going to have to reapply some fertilizer pretty quickly after you make that application because you're putting a lot of water out to get the seeds to germinate. So you have the potential of flushing that fertilizer through the soil profile, I would say, in about 2 to 3 weeks. And you probably, okay, within 3 weeks, you may want to go out and put another round of fertilizer out. But if you got it on hand, let's use it. I'm all about that. You know, use the resources you have. Get out there, you know, use the stuff you got sitting in the garage. If you don't have something in the garage, you know, what we prefer, what we recommend is a 16-25-12. So the phosphorus is higher. The reason I like the phosphorus higher than the, and it does it with the 17% phosphorus and the triple 17, you're still getting phosphorus. Okay. I like the 1-to-2-to-1. And the reason being, a lot of times we're overseeding an existing lawn. So we get a little more phosphorus to kick us in kind of to the rear. And with that seedling, we get more plant vigor. It's really good for root set. You know, think of phosphorus. A lot of people, you know, the number one thing they think about is, oh, it gives me root growth or it gives me blooms. That's what phosphorus does. But phosphorus gives the plant vigor. And it gives it vigor in a sense that it wants to live, it wants to grow, and it's a balanced growth. So we get root set, we get fruiting. I like it lower on nitrogen on the front end in an overseeding situation because we're not growing that existing grass as quickly as we're feeding the seedlings and the roots. So we have a little bit more time to get the seed germinated before that existing grass grows above the seedlings and begins to shade them out. But we also want some slow-release nitrogen, and we need plenty of nitrogen between now and Christmas Day. Yeah, between now and the end of the year, we need a couple of pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. That's what's going to help you maintain color through the really cold weather in the winter. As far as you said you're going to aerify, then you asked about dragging it, correct, Jim?
Right, because I've got a million little holes in the yard. Is all the seed just going to fall in the holes? Or
yeah,
do I need to drag your seed in after I throw it out, or what's the best way to do it?
Yeah, if you seed it after and you got exposed open core aerification holes in the lawn, if you seed over the top of that and you got these exposed holes, yeah, some seed naturally when you spread it's going to fall in the holes, but you also have seed that's on the top layer of the soil, and that's all fine and dandy. My fear is if we over irrigate or we get a thunderstorm, we get a little bit of rain, the seed's going to migrate into those holes, and I've always told Scott, and he kind of gets a chuckle out of it, then it looks like, you know, you have hair plugs in your lawn.
Right.
Eventually it grows out of it, but it's just unsightly. It looks a little odd and a little strange for a few weeks or maybe even a month. I prefer, if you're going to core aerify, you got two ways. We need to bust up the plugs once they dry out. Dragging is bar none the best way to do it, okay? If you go out there with an old piece of carpet, some kind of drag mat, drag it across the lawn, that's the best way to bust up the plugs. Your other option is to cut the irrigation on and let it irrigate for a night or two or a day or two prior to seeding, and that will help kind of dissipate the plugs as well. And that soil is going to migrate back into the holes, help fill it up. You know, we pull the holes to aerify, to loosen the soil, to allow oxygen down there. Another reason we like cores, it actually shears the roots as it goes down. And roots are just like tree branches. When we cut it, we get multiple points of growth off of that point. So, you know, core aerification is a great thing, but you're right. So we need to find some way to somewhat fill in those holes. It sounds crazy, what, you want me to pull holes out of the yard, but then you want me to fill them back up. Well, when we fill them back up, we're going back in with a loose soil is what we're doing. So it's you're actually better off. So if you can find a way to dissipate those, to drag them, if you got a way to drag them, that's the best way to do it.
Okay. And some bare areas, the seeds is laying on top, it will not germinate, right? It's got to have a ground cover over it.
It doesn't necessarily have to. It will germinate in bare areas, but you have to have consistent moisture. In those bare areas, especially today, yeah, it's cooler, but the humidity's low and the wind's blowing, right? You been outside this morning,
yep.
Jim? Gosh, it's gorgeous.
I'm out inside right now. Yep.
It's beautiful. But the wind's blowing. The humidity's low.
Yep.
What happens this time of year is that humidity drops. We normally get a little bit of wind. And you're going to have to syringe short periods of water on those bare areas pretty much constantly from lunchtime to 4 o'clock in the afternoon to keep it consistently moist. Because if that little seedling begins to crack the seed coat, it dries out, it's death of the seedling. So the reason you see people go out with a little bit of wheat straw or something to cover it is really it's just a vapor barrier is all it is. It's a way to help hold a little bit of moisture at the soil, you know, on that soil profile. So if you don't want to put that out, that's fine. You just need to be aware that, hey, I need to run these little short syringes during the day, maybe once every hour with my automatic irrigation system, set it up to run that zone maybe 2 to 3 minutes once an hour during the peak windiest time of the day and when the sun's out. That'll help keep consistent moisture on those bare areas.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, Jim. You have a great weekend gardening. You know, Scott, that kind of sums it up. I guess we're done. We just pack up and go to the house.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. You know, Jim did a great job of kicking us off into what we need to talk about, which is overseeding. And we got a few texts to come in, folks. Don't forget, you can text us at 71307. We'll get to those in just a minute. Because in the meantime, Scott, I would like to get to Dan, who found us at 1-800-347-1063. And the phone lines are open. So you can be like Dan and Jim and give us a call this morning. We'd greatly appreciate it. But, Scott, you want to talk to Dan?
Let's do it.
What do you say? Good morning, Dan, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for your help this morning.
No problem.
My situation is I've got about 2,000 square foot of residential lawn. I've got in-ground irrigation, and usually every time this year I find myself doing some sort of renovation, either higher level or lower level with aeration and seeding and so on. I have been sidelined medically since about May of this year, so I normally try to follow close to your premium program, but have done nothing on my lawn really since May. And so I have been contemplating my usual aeration and overseeding this week. I'm still sidelined medically, but I've got a fellow who's coming over toward the end of the week who's going to be able to help me with anything I need. You know, I'm just going to buy the material and point to the bags and so on, and he's going to be the arms and legs. But I'm rethinking whether the aeration and overseeding is the best move, given the neglect that the lawn may have had with regard to insecticides and fungicide application and soil sampling and all of that. So my first question, and I'll circle back with the second one, is what's the best use of my time and resources at this point? Is it sort of catch up on the program or going ahead and doing the aeration and seeding late week?
What kind of lawn are we talking about? Is it a fescue lawn or is it
largely a fescue lawn.
Okay.
And by the way, just a real quick divergence here. I decided to try your Carolina Blue 2 last fall. And I don't know if I just got lucky. I don't know if that Bluetooth fescue is the best thing ever or what. But my lawn never went dormant this year for the first time ever. And it's looked beautiful. And I've been crediting that Bluetooth fescue.
Yeah. And, you know, Dan, I appreciate the kind words about
the smiling.
Bluetooth. Yeah, Scott's like Mills is all excited. You know, that Bluetooth blend is – you know, we call it Blue 2. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's tall fescue, two varieties. And then it's at least two varieties. Normally, we try to keep it two and two. Two varieties of tall fescue, two varieties of Kentucky bluegrass. There have been a lot of other seed blends over the years that have been out there. One of them was called Plush Tex or something like that. It had probably at least four, if not six, eight, ten varieties of things and had some bluegrass. But none of them had more than 10% bluegrass. So what I decided to do years ago, I said, you know, hey, bluegrass, if maintained properly, there's some great varieties of bluegrass. A lot of research has been done. They are more heat tolerant. They're more drought tolerant than they've ever been. Why hasn't someone tried to grow those in the great state of South Carolina? About the same time, there were some what they call Texas hybrid bluegrasses, single varieties. Some sod growers were growing them. I think it was called Thermal Blue.
Thermal Blue.
Was out. Some sod growers were growing it and having some success. And I said, well, that's fine and dandy, but what if we just took our seed mix and we did what was nice or did what I thought was a good thing, and let's increase some bluegrass content in our blend of fescue. Mm-hmm. And what we have found is if we take a bag of seed, open it up, and we throw 100 seeds on a piece of white paper, and we start counting seeds. Bluegrass seeds are much smaller than fescues. And we start counting seeds out of 100. It is almost a 50-50 split. You know, the seed mix is blended by weight, but a pound of bluegrass seed contains about twice as many seeds as a pound of fescue seed because they're half the size. So what we've got is darn near a 50-50 split of bluegrass. What I like about the bluegrass, it sets rhizomes. Not as quickly. It's not like a Bermuda grass per se. I don't want people to think, man, this sounds like the best thing since sliced bread. But fescue is truly a clump forming with a fibrous root system. That's it. You got a crown of a plant. You got fibrous roots. Bluegrasses have a really good fibrous root system, but they also have rhizomes which begin to grow underground and tiller and spread. Now, they don't spread near like the Bermudas. But they do a great job of giving you some energy stored underground. So when we get into the stresses of summer, you've got something there. Once it cools down, we get a little bit of cool nights, we put a little bit of water to it, it bounces back. And that's probably why you're seeing a better-looking lawn through the summer. You're probably seeing it turn around and regenerate itself right now and have really good color, although you haven't done much to the yard. That's pretty typical.
That's really true. One of the other reasons I was sort of rethinking my game plan is on balance. You know, usually a significant portion of my yard needs to be seeded at this time of year because it's so thin. But still really, really thick and never got thin this year.
That's right. So what I would suggest, because we're down to about 40 seconds, Dan, till the bottom of the hour break. Okay. Here's how I sum it up. A fescue program, the program that we have, every fall we suggest overseeding. If you don't need as much seed, don't waste your money. But this is the rebirth of your fescue lawn right now. So jump on the program right now, do your seeding, do your starter fertilizing, and move forward and restart that lawn is what I would suggest. Okay. That's the way it's designed, okay?
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Folks, it's been an absolute delight the first half of the show to talk to you. It's the Yard Pro Show brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. Give us a call during the break at 1-800-347-1063. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. It's a delight to be here. I'm Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And, man, we're having fun, are we not? It's been a great first half of the show. It is Saturday, October the 5th. I was getting ready to say September. Can you believe that? It's October the 5th, man. And it finally feels a little bit like October. Yeah, Scott, show me. Fire danger is high. We did a little checking during the bottom of the hour break. And kudos to your son, by the way.
Him and Chip.
Yeah. Your son is a career full-time firefighter, and you retired from that, so thank you for that. But we contacted your son, you contacted someone else. And just to let you know, folks, we talked about it the first half of the show. We're under such severe drought right now across, you know, 80% of the state. A year ago, Scott, we were exactly opposite. 80% of the state was not in drought.
We were talking about that at work yesterday.
You know, so we're under a lot of drought going into fall. We got these crispy, dry leaves, and we made the comment, hey, I know everybody wants to get outside with the cool down, have a little outdoor fire. Here's the deal. There is no statewide fire ban right now, but the fire danger is high. Some municipalities, however, talking with some firefighters this morning, some municipalities across the state like Conway, Lyman City, we know those two, have issued burning bans within the city limits. So if you are going to burn outside, even if you're going to have a little campfire tonight or tomorrow night with the nice weather, please call someone within your municipality and double check and make sure. Because and even if they say you can do it, please be safe with it, okay? No bonfires.
Yeah.
You know, just be safe with it. Air with some caution. Winds blowing, dry leaves, all that good stuff. Scott, we're going to get back to the phone lines. We have Mike and Irma who's been waiting patiently, and I think Mike wants to talk about some pertinent information as our warm season lawns begin to go dormant. Hello, Mike, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Well, hey, how you doing?
Awesome.
I am fantastic, as you catch me drinking a mouthful of coffee.
Sounds good. Yeah, I have a centipede yard. I live in Irmo, and, you know, it's been so hot and dry lately, I was almost afraid to put anything down to control, you know, crabgrass and Bermuda grass and chamber bedder. So
okay.
I was kind of waiting until it started to get cooler to put to apply it. But now, you know, all of a sudden, it's, like I said, it's hitting winter pretty quickly. Is it too late to even try to control it now? Or is it best just to let nature take its business and attack it next year?
All right, I think there are a couple things we need to discuss, and I'm glad you called in, Mike, because we may keep you on the phone for a few minutes and discuss a lot of things about warm season grass. It seems like the first half of the show, I know you were listening, was all for the upstate client talking about cool season grass and pretty green grass in the winter. And we don't want to neglect our warm season lawns out there because the majority of the lawns in this state are warm season. And where you live in Irmo, I would be willing to bet the majority of them are centipede. So I have a few questions, and there's a reason to my madness and my questioning.
Yeah.
I know it's been hot, I know it's been dry, but as far as the overall condition, how would you rate your centipede? Is it real crispy and dry when you walk out there, or have you been watering, irrigating, and your lawn's somewhat healthy at this point?
I've been watering. It's somewhat healthy. It's
okay.
Just, you know, it's intertwined with the problem
yeah.
areas.
Yeah, but you've kept it hydrated even though you're in the midst of drought, and unfortunately, you know, you're right there on the edge of extreme drought. We know you're in severe drought where you are in Irmo. But you've kept the lawn hydrated and healthy, and that's key number one. Centipede can be a weird, kind of freaky grass. I mean, I tell people in the spring of the year in the late winter when it begins to get warm and you walk outside one day, it's nice and sunny, please don't stare at your centipede lawn. It gets real bashful and it does weird things, okay? It's just, it can be a challenging lawn at certain times of the year. And a lot of these challenges stem around our transition period of the year, and we're beginning the transition, okay? With your lawn, if you rate it as kind of healthy because you kept it hydrated, you still have color to it, it's still probably growing a little bit, I think you're fine. Some of these, like chamber bitter, some of these weeds, if you want to try to eradicate them post-emergently, feel free. But you need to do it now, and you need to make sure the lawn's healthy. So I would irrigate real well the night before, you know, early in the morning, not late at night, but early in the morning, irrigate real well, get out there, do some post-emergent spray, and then make sure you keep up with the irrigation for several days afterwards to keep the grass healthy. This is a good time of year to do some post-emergent on nutsedge, things that are perennial that you know are going to come back next year that have a woody stem or deep-rooted or have like nutsedge with a tuber in the soil. All of these things, because they're getting ready to go dormant, are beginning to take that chemical. Most of this chemical is translocated through leaves. It's going to translocate it to the roots this time of the year. So honestly, September, October, sometimes we see better weed control from our perennial weeds when we're doing post-emergent weed control. So I think it's acceptable. Just do it within the label of the product and make sure the lawn is healthy prior to you spraying and keep it healthy for a week afterwards. You know, don't cut your irrigation off after you do it. And the other thing is, it's time to get on that pre-emergent and that large patch control if you haven't done it. That's going to protect you from the winter weeds. What's that?
Yeah, I've done the large patch. I just hadn't put my pre-emerge it out yet. I'm away.
Go ahead. I'm looking at the soil temperatures, and I looked at Columbia during the break as well. And I invite anybody to go to this page. It's called greencastonline.com. It's one of the chemical manufacturers out there, and there's a tab that says resources. You could pull up your zip code and look at the soil temperatures. Currently, the soil temperatures, you said you're in Irmo, right?
Correct, yes.
Let's look it up in Irmo, just out of curiosity. I had Columbia pulled up. So, Irmo, you're a little bit cooler. You're outside of town. The current soil temperature today is 76 degrees right now as we speak. Okay, now, 70 degrees is where that those weeds, that poannuas, are going to begin to germinate. That's when you begin to see germination. So we need the pre-emergent out prior to the soils dropping to 70 degrees. The interesting thing is your 24 average soil temperature was 86 degrees. So a day ago, you were averaging 86 degrees. It makes sense. It was 96, 97, 98 degrees in Irmo, correct?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was hot.
It was hot. And it was, what, 74 at night and kind of muggy. Yeah. Here's the interesting thing. You're going to cool off all day today. Today, right now, as we sit, the soil temperature is 76. Your five-day average is 84. Your 24 average is 86. Your temperature is not going to get above 76 degrees for the next couple of days. So I don't see the soils, and it's going to be cloudy. I don't think your soils are going to hold a lot of heat for the next few days is the point I'm trying to make. I think you're going to see the 76-degree soil temperature kind of drop a little bit, and I think by the end of this week, you're probably going to see that average soil temperature somewhere in the low 70s. We're approaching 70. So if it were me, today's a good day. Whether you're a Clemson fan, you're a Gamecock fan, both of them are off today, right? So
yeah.
Spread some pre-emergent. What else you got to do? You know?
Okay. All right. Go ahead and put that out. My last question, like for Bermuda, is it too late to even like spray like a grass gator on it or Tenacity?
You know, you could go out there with a little bit of Tenacity now. As long as that Bermuda is still kind of growing, which it should be, I would go ahead and try to treat it because, once again, that's a perennial weed. And if we spray it now, we can get a little better translocation.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Scott.
Good calls back to back to back.
I know. Three good calls, right? Three great calls, actually. Jim, Dan, and goodness, how did I forget that quickly?
Mike
from Irma. And, you know, the thing with warm season lawns, they kind of lull you to sleep this time of year because although it's been hot, right, and maybe you've been irrigating, your clipping yield's not there. You're starting to get that dingy color. It's not really growing. And you start lulling yourself to sleep. And I'm afraid that a lot of people got in the situation, like I said at the first half of the show, is, well, you know, it's kind of hot, it's dry. You know, we look for reasons not to get outside when it's 96 degrees, and rightfully so. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we probably neglected some things like pre-emergent and said, hey, I'm going to wait. And I'm fine with that because the soil temperatures have been so blooming high. I mean, 24 hours ago, the average soil temperature in Columbia and in Greenville was 84 degrees. Currently, this morning, it's dropped a good bit, and it's going to continue to drop at this point, would be my speculation looking at the 10-day forecast. You need to get out there and get the pre-emergent out. You need to get out there and get the large patch material out.
Fine, I will.
Now, large patch may not become as big as an issue this fall. That's the one saving grace with the drought, because large patch is really spread by abundance of rain. Obviously, we have not had the abundance of rain, except for the coast where they're still getting some rain. So, but I don't know if I'd bank on that, because if those soil conditions are proper, the soil temperatures are proper, Scott, and we get a system to blow up in the Gulf and run up our way and dump an inch or two of rain, and we don't have the protection out there, we could be setting ourselves up for disaster. And also think about this. The lawn is under a lot of stress. It's grown deeper into the season than it has in recent years because of the warm soil temps, the warm weather. The lawn is under stress. It's under drought stress. Is it going to have time to get healthy again before it goes dormant? And if we've got a little bit of rhizoc, large patch, okay, think of it as cool season brown patch. That disease is naturally occurring in all soils in the southeast. If we got just a little bit of inoculation there, which in most years may not be an issue, but if we have just a little bit of inoculation there, but we have a grass that's under stress, it's certainly much more susceptible to those issues, correct? Okay? So I can't stress it enough. Get by the stores. They're open to noon today. They're simple to find at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. find a store, go buy some pre-emergent. If you've got centipede, if you've got zoysia, get a bag of Headway, get a bag of Pillar, get some kind of fungicide, either Headway or Pillar. That's your top rated. Probably, I don't know, I'd go probably Headway would be my first choice for large patch. Get that applied, get it watered in. It is that time to do it. And if you got cool season, it's time to seed it, without a doubt. Start slinging seed. We're going to Ron real quick to at Greer. I had to think there for the city. Ron, good morning, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just curious. Okay, we're going into winter, got the summer grass type stuff, the zoysia, the Bermuda. Once it's dormant, how much do I need to water? Do I need to water it at all?
Yeah, definitely. If we're not getting rain in the winter, you've got to put some water to a dormant lawn. I mean, dormant lawns need water, too. The dormant is not dead. Those are two different definitions.
Still
dormant,
living, just sleeping.
Dormant is a living product. Scott described it great. It's sleeping. It's what we call senescence, okay? So it's hibernating. It's taking a nap, but it still needs some moisture at the root zone. If not, we're going to run the risk of some desiccation.
Come springtime.
And winter injury. So, you know, I'd say at least a half, if not three-quarter inches of water per week would be sufficient.
What? Just curious, now that this has come up, what about any type of stuff in the lawn that I don't want, some kind of grass or whatever, like just, well, any type, say it goes dormant, would the Roundup type stuff kill it?
If it's dormant?
Yeah.
No. Roundup's not effective on dormant grass. Roundup is only synthesized and translocated through living tissue, living green tissue, or plant or leaf tissue on a plant.
Oh, great. That makes it easy. I can really spot stuff. Anyway, I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys helping me out with this. Have a good one.
All right,
Ron. Be good.
Bye-bye. Scott, you know, real quickly, we're going to go straight to Bob in about a minute, minute and a half. Bob, if you hold on, I just wanted to get to a couple texts because they relate to overseeding, and Bob's going to go back, take us back down to the Midlands and talk about some worm season grass, I'm sure. Hi, guys. I will be seeding my fescue lawn later this week. Is it okay to go ahead and put down some lime today? Thanks, Harriet and Greer. Sure, it's fine to get some lime out there. I would suggest a maintenance rate of lime, a low rate, is great once or twice a year on all lawns. But before you go dump a bunch of lime out there, let's do make certain, if you've done a number of years in a row, let's make certain we take a soil test. And soil tests are free. And as we go into winter, fall through winter, now's a great time to take a soil test on your lawn. They are free. F-R-E-E, exclamation point, exclamation point. They are free if you bring them to Carolina Fresh Farms. So you can run by the store, pick up a bag, or you could just take a bag of soil. You know, keep in mind, we don't want to take a soil sample 14 foot deep or a foot deep. We want to take a soil sample from that 0 to kind of 4 to 5 inch range. That's where we need a soil sample. That's where the majority of the roots grow. But, yes, lime certainly could be used at the same time. I just flipped you. No. There was another one. I can't find it now. Oh, I have a mature pecan tree that used to produce a lot of nice nuts. For the last number of years, the nuts produced are not edible. They appear to be all dried up. Is there anything I can do to help with this?
Yes, zinc.
Zinc. And just a good, well-balanced fertilizer. People forget to fertilize their fruit-bearing and nut-bearing trees. You've got to fertilize these at least once a year, if not twice a year. Once in the fall, once in the spring. Do a good fertilizer like Triple 14 Wood Ace. It contains a micro-element package, which contains?
Zinc.
Zinc, okay? So we need to make certain that we're fertilizing these trees. The micro-elements sometimes are where it's at when we're dealing with fruit and nut trees. And like you said with pecans, a zinc deficiency can lead to some shriveled up fruit or nuts within the shell. So take a soil sample as well. All right? That's always a good thing to
yep.
do. But I will mind you, our soil sample that's free is basic. If you're dealing with fruit or nut tree or nuts or gardens and you want a deeper assessment, you can pay us a small fee, and we can do a more in-depth soil report on
yes.
that. Correct?
Yep.
So we can go to the next level and test these micro elements, the ones that are needed, in small doses, but become so crucial in plant health. And not necessarily plant health as much as they become crucial in the fruiting of certain plants, in the flowering, and in production of nuts.
Because I've dug deep in that this week.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You had some other calls, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I brought that asked you that question about humic acid.
That's right.
You know.
So, but that's it. Hey, man. Fantastic, Scott. You did a great job on that one, by the way. I'm excited. We're going to Bob in West Columbia. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Hello, Bob, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
And fantastic.
Well, we're getting a little rain right now, so I wanted to ask you a little bit about some pre-emergent. There's a couple of kinds that the little brochure shows. One's 38%
Perdiamine.
Perdiamine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one's a lower number. Which one am I using?
I'm trying to figure out.
So are you talking about like a 007 with Dimension and a 007 with Perdiamine?
Yeah, there's two listed on your little pamphlet that I picked up at the store.
In Columbia?
Yeah, the one that's up there on Clemson Road. So it says October 1st through the whatever, mid-October is when I need to put it down. And I have some 38%, but then there's another one listed that's a lower number.
What's the number on that one?
You know, I'm out at the shed looking at my bag of fertilizer.
Used the 0.38% prodiamine. It's probably a reference to another active ingredient called Dimension. But the 0.38% is actually the percent of active ingredient that's contained within the product. So for every pound of product that you spread, you're getting 0.38% active ingredient distributed in that 1 pound. Okay, so what that relates to, I wouldn't get as hung up on that. There's a certain amount of product that you want to put out or that you're allowed to put out in a year with all products, okay? So that percentage comes back to helping you figure out what the rate is. How much should I apply? How much am I allowed to apply? So the 0.38% prodiamine is a pretty good rate because it allows you to go, it's a little bit low. They make a 0.42% some people. The problem with that, you don't put as much fertilizer out, so you're putting less product per 1,000, which becomes a little more aggravating. And think about this as well, Bob. When we're applying a granular product to a lawn or even a spray, if I'm applying 2 pounds of product per 1,000 versus 5 pounds of product per 1,000, the higher spread rate, the 5 pounds, if I've got more product in 1,000 square feet, I'm more likely to get it everywhere and to have a more uniform distribution. Whereas if I'm only putting out 2 pounds per 1,000, then I have to be more accurate, and I don't have as much product to distribute over that area, I may have some voids and some gaps. So a higher spread rate when it comes to pre-emergent can actually be a good thing because I know that I have a higher likelihood of getting some material on every square inch of that 1,000 square feet. I would go, if you got the 0.38% prodiamine, that's a 007. That's just a good industry standard. That's what we've sold for a number of years. That's what I would use. And prodiamine, if you're only going to do one app, you're looking for poa control, is going to be about your best product out there because it's very insoluble in water. So if we do get in a system where we're having a lot of rain through the winter, we know that you're going to get a greater longevity of control of weeds with that product because it is the least water-soluble pre-emergent on the market.
Okay. So when you said I'm only going to put it down one time, I could put it down multiple times during the winter?
I wouldn't advise it because you're only allowed to use so much of it in a year. Okay, and that's an EPA regulation on the label. It's also from some research over the years with the chemical manufacturer. So I would put it down now, and then you can use the same product come spring of the year or late winter.
Okay,
sometime February or March.
Yeah, the other stuff was 15% dimension.
0.15% dimension. Yeah.
Right.
And the dimension's okay. But the prodiamine to me can be a much better product this time of the year from a POA standpoint.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna put that down today. If I don't get rained out, it's pouring. It ain't really pouring. It's drizzling a little bit.
Well, send some in the upstate.
Yeah, please send us some rain. How about that?
We haven't had anything.
But appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Scott, you know, one reason we had that dimension on there as well, and I didn't think to tell Bob this, but if you know, and if you're in tune with your lawn and you've had this problem before, you know, there's a weed out there called hairy bittercress. And hairy bittercress is not controlled by Predominy. Zero control by Predominy. And the reason we have that Dimension product in the stores this time of the year, if you know you have hairy bittercress, which is a winter weed, germinates when the soil temperatures drop below 70, really becomes an issue because it goes to seed February, March, and has those little seed pods. If you touch, they explode, the little bitty seed pods, okay? Looks almost like legumes, like little miniature beans. I mean, we're talking, what, 5-6 centimeters long, if that?
Mm-hmm.
And when they brown out, you touch them, they kind of explode, shoot seed everywhere. They become a big issue. But the reason we had Dimension is for those clients who know that they have a hairy bittercress problem in the lawn. Dimension's going to do better at that. But I stand by the fact Dimension doesn't have quite the half-life in the soil profile as Predominy. And if we get into a wet situation in the winter, you're going to get some POA germinating at some point. You're not going to get complete control of POA, especially that kind of second flush we always get when the soil temperatures start rising a little bit in February. January, February, we begin to see another kind of round of germination of POA. So that's why I'm kind of keen on the Predominy. Just think it's, from a longevity standpoint, just a better option. So, folks, you've been tuned into the Yard Pro Show today. We appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate all those who have participated via text or via calling. It's very simple during the week, however. If you'd like to get in touch with us, it's easy. Go to www.carolinafreshfarms.com, and there you will find a link to a retail store near you and all that good jazz, from emails to directions where you can find us and communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you during the week. In the meantime, I want to remind you, get out there, get your overseeding done if you have fescue lawns. If you're going to overseed a warm season lawn, get it done. Don't forget your 16-25-12 starter fertilizer at the time of seeding, and get your pre-emergent and your headway out for your large patch. Folks, it's been a great time talking to you. I hope you have a great week gardening.